This book we hold, the Bible, was relevant once upon a time. In that long ago era of shepherds and scribes, the story of how the Hebrew people emerged from their centuries of slavery in Egypt, it's a gripping account. If you've never read it, man, it is amazing. But does it have any connection to the world of emails and cell phones and jet travel and the life we live today? I mean, how many of you know the story of Jonah and the whale? Yeah, we most all know. But let me ask you something. Does the story of a disobedient servant being swallowed up by a fish, or how about how to get Daniel out of the lion's den, how does that affect you? How relevant is that to your life on Tuesday if the hard drive in your computer completely crashes? And some of you in here are going, Bill, I don't even have a computer. I don't know what a hard drive is. Okay? Your car doesn't start. Your transmission goes out. Pick the problem. For the busy mom or dad that's trying to make maybe sales appointment, or mom that's trying to get her kids to the dentist and the grocery shopping done and work a full-time job, how does the story of Elijah, seeing to the killing of 400 prophets for the God of Baal, how do you relate to that? These are strange, just a few things I've mentioned this morning are strange, mystifying events in our culture today. And it's little wonder to me that the French philosopher Voltaire had this to say about the Scriptures. He said that in 100 years from his day, the Bible would have passed into the midst of history as people became more liberated and enlightened. And he couldn't have been more wrong. Because as history passed, the Bible became more and more relevant and more prominent. Do you know that there's no other book in the history of all mankind that has been translated and printed as many times as the Bible? It's still the number one bestseller. So let me ask you a question. It's one I hear all the time as a preacher. Is the Bible relevant today? Is it logically connected with and important to our lives? Is it appropriate and pertinent? And I want to make this clear beyond all reason. I want anybody to miss this. Yes. The answer to that question is emphatically yes. And I want to give you a few reasons why. Because I think we hear a lot of noise and a lot of different things to oppose that. Remember we talked last week about truth and the idea that the devil would like to deceive us. And one of the lies he wants us to understand is this book about events that happened thousands and thousands of years ago, that it's not relevant to our lives, that maybe we're a more advanced culture. But the Bible is relevant to us today because God is the author of the Bible. He writes it, He penned it, He created it, it was His design, it was His plan, it contains inside of it everything that He wanted us to know about Him. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Timothy about the Scripture. It says, all, every piece, every bit, every word, every comma, everything, all Scripture is God-breathed. In other words, by His breath, He inspired. And what's so amazing to me is He writes through fallen people. Through people that are just like you and me, that are sinners, that are fallen. He writes through them by His power, by His Spirit. He moves in their hearts and breathes the Scripture into creation and says it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This word we hold, this thing we call the Bible, came to us from the Creator of the universe. It wasn't somebody's good idea. It wasn't man's best plan. It wasn't a hope that people would, by people, that we could learn to understand God. In other words, it's not a textbook. It is a love letter written by the Creator of the universe so that I would know Him. And because it's written by Him, it is perfect, just as it is. It doesn't need my influence, my input, my ideas. It is His letter from Him to me to explain to me who He is and how we can relate to each other. It tells me everything that I need to know about God. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says about the Word of God. For you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. Why is the Bible relevant? You're going to have to help me with that. I've been working on that all week. Okay? So if I say relevant, I mean relevant. All right? It's my tongue. I'm sorry. I stood in the mirror and practiced that. Okay? But if it comes out, just give me some grace. But it is relevant because God ordained it. He created it. He wrote it. He breathed it into life, and it endures and stands the test of time. It is truth. And we need to understand something about truth. Truth doesn't really care what we think about it. Do you realize that? It doesn't really even need us to believe in it. Okay, let me prove it to you. If this morning, let's say I brought some fake wings. And I said, and I got up here, and I climbed up on top of the piano. And I said to y'all, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to fly off the top of the piano to the back row. I'm going to fly back to Earl, Angie. I'm going to land in their lap. What would happen if I went, and what would you do? Praise God, I hope somebody would say, Billy, don't do it. You're going to break your neck. At best, Earl and Angie probably ain't going to catch you. They'll knock you. And guess what? I could stand up there and say to you what? I don't believe in gravity. My worldview, my experience, my relationships, none of that proved gravity to me. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to fly. And what would happen? I would be lucky if I made it to here. Most likely I'd end up somewhere along here with broken ribs. Maybe, I'd be going to the emergency room. Why? Because gravity is truth, isn't it? And it doesn't need, it happens whether I believe in it or not. Whether I want it to or not. Guys, let me tell you something. This Word of God is truth. And it doesn't need you to believe in it. It was written by the Creator of the universe, the very person who breathed life into your being. And it stands forever because He is eternal. It brings to our lives timeless truths, things that don't ever change. Listen to what Proverbs 6 says. Go to the ant, you slugger, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? Will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a bandit and a scarcity like an armed man. What's the text talking about here? Laziness and an undisciplined life. It's saying, look, you ought to do things even if you don't have somebody looking over your shoulder, making you. Because it's good choices. Does anybody know of a society in recent history or maybe a current society that has problems because people are lazy? We live in that society, guys. That's who we live in this world. The very thing that the psalmist wrote about thousands of years ago works in our lives today. People are still motivated by wealth and the threat of poverty. In fact, we so seek wealth here in this society, especially in our culture in the West, that it distorts almost all we do. So see, it's filled with these timeless truths. Anybody here know somebody that has a broken heart? Maybe they're in a relationship where somebody's hurt them. I'm going to give you a hint. We didn't invent broken hearts. Do you know what Jesus has to say about our relationship with others? What? It's all about forgiveness. Reconciliation and wholeness is not in our control. It means that we forgive what? Like He forgave us. You want to mend relationships? Learn to forgive. It works as good as it did thousands of years ago. How many of you have ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? It's an amazing text. It is written by a man named King Solomon. He's described as the teacher. And it addresses in it such issues as education, vocation, laziness, patriotism, politics, materialism, womanizing, futility, and aging. Now that gets everybody in here in some segment, okay? This man had many wives and many concubines, many slaves, and he had wealth beyond all we can imagine, immense wealth, wealth beyond what we think is wealthy. And he experimented with every philosophy and pleasure available, looking to sort out the very meaning and purpose of life. And at times he is very skeptical and very disillusioned. And listen to what he tries both money, sex, and power. And he finds all of them lacking. He says of them, I can get no satisfaction. Frustrated, you know what he says? He says it's meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And he discovers that as long as he is apart from God, life is meaningless. That knowing God is the ultimate way to find meaning in life. He urges us to take full advantage of the opportunities and enjoy life without forgetting God's guidance. And he realizes that there is a balance in life. And for that he writes what? For a time for everything and a season for every activity. There are timeless truths written to us in the Word of God, created by the Word of God, by God, that stand forever. And it meets the needs of our society. Now, of course, you know what? If you came to church this morning and you didn't have breakfast and I gave you a Bible, you would be deeply disappointed. Why? Because they don't taste good. That's not its purpose. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man is of a dual nature. We are people that are physical and spiritual. And when we live to satisfy only our body, we find frustration upon frustration. And we are bound to yearn for that which is missing. I see this manifested in a segment of our society that's, to me, kind of unique. And look, what I'm about to talk about, I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but you know, people have turned to fitness. Like how I control my body, what I eat, how much I exercise, what I work, that if I can just do all of that right, I will be happy and healthy and everything in my life will be perfect. Now look, I ate a biscuit this morning with fried bologna, egg, and cheese on it. It was delicious. But I know it wasn't really good for me. I'm not downing the whole idea of fitness. But I am saying to you exactly the idea that the Word of God professes and that Jesus talks about. It is not all about my physical being. I have a spiritual body. And if I don't attend to it, then I will be left frustrated, that I will be left hungering, that I will be left thirsty. A man needs to be, a person needs to be loved. You know, they have defined the idea that if you take a baby and you just put it in a crib and you give it food and you feed it, but you don't hold it and cuddle it and love it, what happens? It has huge problems. We need to be loved. The Bible is applicable and relevant to our lives because it tells us what? That no matter who I am, that no matter what I've done, no matter what station I am in life, no matter where I might be, no matter what anybody else thinks of me, God loves me. And He loves me so much that He is willing to send His one and only Son to die for me. In fact, Romans 5:8 says this, that the love of God, that the love of God demonstrates His own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why I was a sinner? While I was far away from Him, while I was ugly, while I was dead, Christ died for me. It tells us of a love that is greater than any love known to man. It is a love that is unselfish, a love that is sacrificial, a love that regenerates us, a love that takes us from death to life, a love that gives us hope, a love that gives us eternity. Guys, it fills this need in my heart to be known, to be loved. And it teaches us how to love. It says, love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And try as we might, struggle as we might, as many times as we turn on our cell phones, as many times as we search on Google, as many times as we look for answers in our world, there is nothing that replaces love. And our need to be loved by God and our need to love God. And there is nothing that tells us about this love more straightforward than the Word of God. So it is relevant because it teaches me, it helps me to understand and to deal with my need to be loved. It helps me to understand my need for peace. If there's anything in this world that people long for, it's peace. But in fact, the biggest, the greatest, the lasting peace, it only comes through the gospel. The peace of mind, the peace with self, the peace with God, it is found only through Jesus Christ. And this is how we learn to relate to Him. This is how we understand Him. This is how we walk with Him. This is how we live with Him. This book, this scripture, this is why it's so relevant, because without it, I don't understand about peace. I don't know how to obtain it. I can't get my hands around it. I don't even know how to be loved by God or to love Him. Do you understand that if we could learn to live like the Prince of Peace, there'd be no more war? Do you understand the power that this has? But not only does it let me know about my need to be loved, it helps me with my need for peace, but it also helps me with my need for purpose and for work. I need a reason for living. See, I'm not ever going to be the president. I'm not ever going to own a large company. I'm never going to create a cure for cancer. I'm probably not going to do... I won't ever even be mayor of Villarica. I mean, even if that's... I don't know that makes you anybody or somebody. But I won't ever be any of those things. But I am. Through the love of God, expressed through me through Jesus Christ, and written to me in this scripture, a regenerated believer, a sold out Christian, a follower of God. And I have eternal importance because through this Word and through the Holy Spirit, God breathed in me the idea that I am to make it my daily cause to serve Him and to go in all the world and to preach the gospel to all creation. And He did the same for you. Now it may look different, but the call, the purpose, the reason, it's the same for each of us. That we would get up, that we would take hold of the love of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's planted in us, and that we would live out that truth and share the gospel to everybody, everything, everywhere we go. To all creation. That everything we did would be important because I'm sharing the hope and the love and the peace that changes the world, that helps people go from death to life, from hell to heaven. And for that reason, I have hope. And for that reason, when the Scripture says do everything as you're doing it for God, work like you're working for God, it means that in every part of my life, in every day, in every second, in every moment, that I am sharing the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ that has been given to me to all the creation that I come in contact with. So it is relevant for my life. It changes what I do. It lets me know I'm loved. It gives me peace. And it gives me purpose. It answers the problems of our world. I want to list from you, and this is not an exhaustive list. I want to list for you the things that would vanish if the whole world lived according to the Scriptures. Do you realize there would be no more crime? There would be no more shootings and hostage situations like there were in France. Do you realize there would be no more murder, no more robbery? Do you realize that people wouldn't suffer from addiction, that there would be no more prostitution, that there would not be people that are trafficked for sex, that there would not be family problems, that kids would grow up with parents, that wives wouldn't be beat up, that older folks wouldn't be abused by their kids, that even our ecological problems would be solved, that there would be no more racial prejudice, that there would be no more war. This is the power, this is the hope, this is the chance, the opportunity, if the world would live according to this Word. Now the problem becomes, see, how can something that can change those areas in our lives not be relevant? I mean, what would happen to our, let's just say our ecological problems, pollution and those types of things? What if we really believed what the psalmist said when he said, "The Lord, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." If we took those words to heart, how would that change what we do? See, if the earth belongs to God and everything that lives in it, how do I open up my window and throw out a cup? I mean, we don't think about it like that. See, we'd rather go, look, it's just a cup. But if we would understand what the Word of God says, see, how do I pollute my neighbors if I believe that the land belongs to God? Better yet, listen to this. What if I took serious just these few simple words that Jesus leaves us? Love your neighbor as yourself. Five words. Love your neighbor as yourself. Five. How can a book... Now look, this is aside from how you feel about Jesus. If I brought to you a text this morning, and I said, in this text, there are five words. If we would just adopt these five words, we would stop all crime. that we would stop all wars, that we would stop child abuse, that we would stop pollution, that we would stop wives from getting beat up by their husbands, that we would children wouldn't grow up without dads. If I said, look, if we just find these five words, we could live by these five words. That's just a small portion of what would happen in our world. What would you say? Would you say that book is irrelevant? And listen, guys, if you would just love your neighbor as yourself, you cannot rob him, you cannot hurt him, you cannot dump trash in his backyard, you can't beat up his wife, you can't abuse his kids, you can't do anything to him. It's hard to be in a war with people that you love like you love yourself. In just five words, one sentence, one quote from Jesus, our entire world as we know it is changed for the better, and we have the audacity to look into the book and say it's irrelevant, when in fact it answers all the problems of our society in one sentence, in one quote. It even answers our problem. See, because it deals with our greatest problem, and that is our problem of sin. This is the only viable solution to man's guilt. It's the only answer that God will accept. It's a story of redemption and salvation from sin. It provides an escape from our past failures and a direction for the present path of our lives. It gives us hope and an eternal life. It tells us of the great sacrifice that Jesus gave for us on the cross. It tells us how to be saved, to live in obedience. In five words, guys, it changes our lives. Listen to what James says about this. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. See, that's why it's relevant. It can save you. It can teach you of God. It can tell you how much He loves you. It can tell you what Jesus did for you. Is this book relevant in our fast-paced modern world of cell phones and computers and satellites and technology and culture and science and all of this? Is it relevant? Yeah. And I saw it. I saw it this week. Because on Monday night, I stood in the hospital room and went to Tanner. They called me about 12:30 at night. There was two people about to pass from this world into the other. And there were two families standing in ICU rooms. And suddenly, and many of you know when you get to this point, the world almost slows down to a crawl. The cell phone doesn't matter. Your computer doesn't matter. Facebook is lost. And all of a sudden, there's a question that stands before everyone in that room. What's going to happen when we die? The Bible's relevant because it answers that question. It tells us exactly what we need to know. It tells us how to leave this world and walk into eternity in an ever-present hope to live with God, to reign with Him, to walk into a banquet table, to walk streets of gold, to live in a place that has no more sadness and no more sorrow. to take up a new body. See, that's why it's relevant. And my fear is, you know what? We just don't take time. It's only till we get to that moment. It's only till we hear the monitor beep, 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 clicking off heartbeats that we stop and go, uh-oh, does it really matter? So I want to challenge you this morning. This week, find a place, find a time, turn off the stuff. Ask yourself the question. Begin to look to the Scripture. You know, ask yourself the question, am I loved? Can I find peace? And look to the Word. Begin to open it up. Allow it. See, it's relevant if we give it space in our lives. And here's the deal. When you stand before God, it will be relevant. No matter what you believe, or no matter what you thought. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the place that it holds in our hearts. And I pray that as a body of believers, that you would help us to draw away from the busyness of our lives, to help us to not be deceived by the tricks of the devil, that we would accept this as what you intended it to be, your word, your letter to us, Lord. Help us to give space in our lives and for this to be relevant, that you might work your work in us. We pray it through Christ our Savior. Amen.